Now turn for our scripture reading, which is found in the prophecy of Isaiah, the chapter 46. The prophecy of Isaiah and the chapter 46. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear the word of the living God. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to truly receive his word. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden, and they are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver their burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him, and set him in his place. And he standeth, from his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble? Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I will bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, the word of the living God. And may the Lord bless that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, all to the glory of his name, and to the everlasting good of our poor and very needful and never dying souls, even here today, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to those words that I read to you earlier in your hearing there in the prophecy of Isaiah in the 46th chapter. The Lord be pleased to graciously enable me this morning to minister a word to your hearts and to glorify the name of our God. I take for my text the words that we find in the verse 3 and the verse 4, where God speaks here, addressing his people, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Isaiah 46, the verse 3. And the verse 4. Let me just provide a little context with regards to this chapter of Holy Scripture that I trust will be helpful to us to truly understand what God is saying here, and that we may be instructed from his word. As you know, the prophet Isaiah was called to minister in the year that King Uzziah died, and that is approximately 739 BC. He ministered through a very dark period of Israel's history. Many, many years before that, we know that the kingdom was divided in two under Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon. After Solomon reigned, his son began to reign, and he didn't listen to the elders of his time, and the kingdom was split to Israel in the north with the 10 tribes, and then Judah in the south, Benjamin and Judah. And Israel, by and large, fell into apostasy far quicker than Judah did. And so this is a very dark time in the period of Israel, and that is the time that he ministered. It is believed that he ministered for over 55 years. He ministered concerning the things of Israel, but also that which would come to pass in Judah. Prophecies also looking ahead to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that concerning Israel in the north in 722 BC, they were overthrown by the Assyrians after warning coming from God's word. The people in Israel had imbibed heathen worship, pagan practices, so they took on these gods, particularly Baal worship under Jeroboam. Well, 17 years after Isaiah began his ministry, the Lord brought enemies upon Israel in the north. The Assyrians invaded, and there was a 3-year siege under King Shalmaneser. And Samaria, as you know, the capital was taken, and many were forced out of that capital. And as that happened, the Assyrians brought in 5 surrounding nations to repopulate northern Israel. In 2 Kings 17:24, we're told that. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthah and from Ava and from Hanath and so on. And it says they possessed Samaria instead of the children of Israel. 2 Kings 17 and the verse 24. And also, as Isaiah prophesied, he prophesied concerning Judah in the south, that because of their departure from the living God, they would be led away captivity. And so it happened in the year 586 BC. And there was a subsequent 70 years of Babylonian captivity. As I say, this is many years afterward, after Isaiah lived. Now, if you turn to Isaiah 39 and the verse 6, God, in the times of Isaiah, through Isaiah, has announced that this will take place. Verse 6, "Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, they shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So this is the days of Judah's captivity in Babylon. Now we know concerning Daniel, we're not sure if he was actually a eunuch, but he was under the chief of the eunuchs. There was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in Daniel 1, the verse 3, we read that the king spake to Asphanas, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed. It doesn't seem that Daniel ever married, but he was there serving the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. So these are the days, and the context really here in Isaiah 46 is just that, the days of Judah's captivity in Babylon. And in chapter 40, many are taken away, these young men. And if you notice in the chapter 40, in the verse 29, that in these days even the young men shall run, and they will grow faint. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, but if they trust in the Lord will uphold them. Verse 29, "Yet he that is this God giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." But there is a promise in connection with this, the verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, and they shall not be weary, and they shall walk, and not faint. Oh yes, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that promise is true even to us today, isn't it? If we are the Lord's, if we trust in the Lord, yes, we may faint at times, but the Lord will renew our strength as we wait upon the Lord. It's all conditioned, isn't it, upon waiting on the Lord. Daniel did, and the other young men. Now, again, if you turn here to this passage that we're looking at, particularly the verse 3 and 4, these words come in that particular context, the Babylonian captivity, and even a little bit beyond that, to the time that the Persian Empire would come in after the 70-year captivity. And we want to think about these things. Isaiah 46, the verse 1, let me just read. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to whorehairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Now, the first, the Lord mentions Bel. Bel was the name of the chief deity amongst the Babylonians, amongst their pantheon of gods. And so many were, as you know, named after Bel, Belshazzar. And of course they also named Daniel Belteshazzar. So Bel was the chief amongst the Babylonian gods, or false gods, we should say. We know there is only one God. And that is said in this chapter, isn't it, as we read. And then you see that the name Nebo is mentioned there. Nebo was considered to be Bel's son. And he would be the one that would communicate supposedly to the people. And even Nebo's name, there were many that were named after Nebo. Nebuchadnezzar is one. Also Nebuchadnezzar. And then there was a captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan. And so we read here, it's an interesting phrase, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. What does it mean, though? Well, these gods have proved to be ineffective. What has happened, the context here is that these gods are proven to be worthless. The people of Babylon are not lifting up, they're not honoring these gods. These gods, these idols, they are not carried honorably amongst the heathen priests. Shoulders, but we see them here being carried away upon the beasts. They are being led away. Many believe it points to the time of the end of the Babylonian Empire when they tried to save their own gods. And the people were fleeing away with these gods. The invading Persian Empire has come now. And here they are, these feeble idols being carried upon beasts. And they're even there pictured to be a burden to the weary beast. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols are upon the beasts. They're carrying them away. The people have been defeated. What could these gods do against the enemy? The enemy of the Babylonians. The Persians have come. A greater kingdom now is at hand. Well, no doubt, you think about this. These words, wouldn't they come as a great encouragement to the children of Judah who are in captivity? They see these idols being defeated, even by men. And they need to be carried. They need to be carried away. You notice the previous chapter, chapter 45, verse 1. King Cyrus of the Persian Empire has been anointed. Who raised him up? He is the servant of God, isn't he? To bring in and to issue an edict that the children of Israel should return back to the promised land. And we know that psalm, how God's children said, it's as if they were men that were dreaming. We were like them that dream. And the Lord leads his people back, singing, yes, carrying precious seed with them. They know that they've got to return back to Jerusalem and sow that precious seed. But we know that the Lord has promised that fields and vineyards should be planted again in Israel. King Cyrus, the Persian king, will issue a decree so that God's people will come back. That's the whole context. Then these heathen gods, they're being carried away upon beasts. Now, it's very striking, isn't it? It's quite ironic that these false gods could not escape. They needed animals, they needed beasts to carry them. But our God carries us. He carries his people. Notice the verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. It is said of all false gods, they have to be carried. But the difference between the true and the living God, my dear friends, is this, is that God carries his people. And he blesses them. He bears them from the womb. He brings them, as it were, to birth, even from the belly, even from the womb. Who is this God? Well, notice the verse 9. He is the only God. That's the only suitable answer, isn't it? Remember the former things of old, verse 9. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. The God who we have not seen. The God whom heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. The universe cannot contain him. All these things are contained in him and by him. God who has made all things. And there in the verse 9 he says, remember the former things. What former things? Well, perhaps the time there in Egypt where God overthrew all the so-called Egyptian gods. The God of the Nile. They had so many, didn't they? And men, it's true in this world, we read, don't we, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7:29, lo, this only have I found, God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Men have made their own gods, gods of their own, figments of their own imaginations. And what are these gods? Well, the Lord says in Isaiah 41:24, ye are of nothing. And your work is of naught. What can these idols do? You've got to hammer them to a table with a nail. Just to prop them up. To stop them falling over. They're foolish. And the Lord says, he that chooseth you, that is you, you idols, is an abomination. The person that chooses idols. What are idols? They're inventions of men, aren't they? To trust in an idol is to trust in men who invented these things. We read, don't we, in Jeremiah. The Lord says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Man that makes these idols. Men that invent these things. And people have idols today. They say, computers are wonderful. Of course they are. But can they save this world? Can they change man? Can they change the heart? Can they do anything of everlasting worth and value? But God, dear friends, is the true God who sustains all things, who made all things, who created all things. The God of heaven who brings us into a living union with him through his dear Son and who carries us from this world into the world that is yet to come. I am God. As I said, false gods need to be carried, but the true God carries his people. That's really the teaching of the verse 3 and the verse 4. This God is sovereign. Notice the verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. This is who this God is. He has determined the future. Ephesians 1:11, all things work after the counsel of his own will. He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, so that everything in this world that takes place is of God, has been predetermined by God. Yes, even the fall, that God should be glorified in the saving of souls. That Christ should be honored. All the Babylonians carried their gods, but the true and the living God, he carries his people. So this morning, as we meditate upon the verse 3 and 4, really there are just two things here which the Lord brings before his people. The first is this, is that God is the God of the past. The verse 3, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. My dear friends, God is the God of the past. Men made idols. And what were these gods before that? Nothing. They didn't exist. But God is the creator of all things. And he raised his people, didn't he, out of Egypt. But even before that, we could say that God did a work in Abraham's heart. He did a work in Noah's heart. He did a work in Abel's heart. But let's hearken back for a moment just to Abraham. God called him out of the Ur of Chaldees and promised that from him, from his progeny, would come salvation. That God would bless a nation, that he would have a nation, even through Abraham. And so there was Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And then from Jacob, you know, come the 12 tribes. But there were they were in Egypt for years. And yet what is God doing while they are slaves there in Egypt? He's multiplying them, over 2 million people. And then he calls them out of Egypt. And he delivers them by Moses, an old man now, 80 years old. Over 2 million people delivered. Destroys Pharaoh and his armies. Divides the Red Sea. He bore them out. And then they arrive on the other side, and then they cry for water, and God gives them water. At the waters of Meribah, yes, they bitter, but a tree is thrown in the waters, and it is made sweet. He gives them water. And then he gives them manna from heaven. For over 2 million people, for 40 years. My, that's some miracle, isn't it? That's over 4,000 tons. When you work out what was given each person, 4,000 tons of manna fell from heaven every day to feed the people. It's a great miracle how God bore them and how he bore even with their complainings. How he gave them water from the rock. The rock was struck. And it satiated, it satisfied the thirst of all the people and all their beasts. He bore them. And then when they get there at the foot of Mount Sinai, in Exodus 19, we have these words. As Moses is there, the Lord says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Oh, friends, this was despite all of their complainings. And then we read in the Psalm 107, the verse 7, he led them forth by the right way, the way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, the Lord bore them, and well, they drank of Christ, Paul says, didn't they? As they drank from that rock, Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 10, they drank of that same spiritual drink, and that rock that followed them was Christ. And Christ said, he is the manna. It's a picture. He is the one that provides the manna. God brought them out. All these people. He carried them throughout their journeys. Well, they would have gone in a lot quicker. They spent 38 years in the wilderness wanderings because of their sin. But even still then, the Lord brought them out. Moses reflecting some time after, just before the children enter into the promised land, in Deuteronomy 31 says, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man bare his son, in all the way ye went, until ye came unto this place, even there to the plains of Moab, as they're about to enter. And we know this, if we are Christ's, and if we're born again and made to love and to fear God, we are Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. God doeth it that men should fear before him. And if we do, God has borne us up. He has given us the new birth. There you see, called, notice there, the verse 3, born out of the womb, carried from the belly, from the womb, all of our days, and the Lord will carry all of his people in this life, no matter how difficult life may prove to be, born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. What a wonderful thing to know this God, dear friends. Many of us can testify to this, can't we? We've been Christians for many years. And we would say that we're kept. Kept by the power of God. Born by God. Psalm 71, the verse 6, a lovely psalm. The psalmist says, by thee have I been holden from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. How gracious God has been to us. You know, even before we were born again, God had his heart of love and affection upon us. Even before we were saved, God spared us to that time that we should know the time of love, the time to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the forgiveness of our sins. His decree who formed the earth fixed my first and second birth. Parents, native place and time, all appointed were by him. Plagues and deaths around me fly, till he bids I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love sees fit. And we have to say he's kept us, hasn't he? He's kept us since we met last. He knows all things. These pagan idols, they know nothing. But all things are known unto God. David says, thou knowest my thoughts afar off. There's nothing hid from God. He knows the future. He knows every word that I shall utter in eternity. That's a staggering thought, isn't it? Nothing surprises the God of heaven and earth. And friends, the wonder of wonders is this, that we were a people of the object of his love before the world began. And that grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and we will remain the object of his eternal, unfailing love. Despite our sin. He doesn't love us for any other reason than his free and sovereign choice. He chose his love, as one has said, and he loves his choice. He loves his people. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He could not help but draw his people to himself. And as Peter says of God's people, ye were as a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Who made us to return to him? He did. We came under his word. And even before we came under his word, the Saviour died for the sins of his people. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? There was a time that we should know his love. He says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on her son? Oh yes, the Lord says, they may forget. But I have graven thee, not just thy name, but I have graven thee on the palm of my hands. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, parents can easily sometimes forget their children, and that's a sad thing. But the Lord never forgets his people. To think that God, from all eternity, when did he do this? When did he grave our names, or us? Friends, before the world even came to existence. Promise to the Son. It says promised before. Who did he promise it to? His son. There was nobody before the world began. There were no angels. There was God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he carries his people. And even before that, even before he made the world, Christ agreed to be a surety for his people. You know, if you were to study the Psalm 119, that every verse in the Psalm 119 has a reference to the law of God, the statutes of God, the commandments of God. But there is one verse in the Psalm 119 that has no reference to the law. And that is verse 122. Be surety for thy servant. For good, let not the proud oppress me. And that verse comes on the back foot of verse 121, which says, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. There's only one person that could ever say that. The Lord Jesus Christ. None of us have done justice. None of us have lived for the law of God. And did you know that Job, on his deathbed, Job 17:3, said this to God. He felt he was dying. He says, my breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. And then he says this, lay down and put me in a surety with thee. But my dear friends, God the Father put his people in a surety with him through his Son. His Son who came into this world and who could say, I have done judgment and I have done justice. He who lived the life that we didn't live. He who died in his people's stead. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? To know the love of this God. And you see, Christ, who has made a surety for us, has borne us, as he bore the people here. He is the cloud, isn't he? He's there pictured as the manna. All these types, all these shadows. He is the water that, Paul says, that which they drank was Christ. You know, when we come to know the Lord Jesus, we come and we drink of him, don't we? He gives us life, and he gives us abundant life, and he gives us eternal life. And we know him as he has proven to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He says in Jeremiah, am I not a God at hand, not a God afar off? He's very near to us, isn't he? And he's very dear to us. He's always there to help us. He's there to carry us. And you know, the more and more we know him, the more we find him to be faithful. He carries us. When Christians become very ill, or they become aged, they realize more and more how he carries us and sustains us. It's not that God changes, but that we draw near to him, don't we, in the time of our trial. And we know his strengthening, and we know his help, and we know his blessing. We know him to be not a God afar off, and certainly not a God that is carried away. And he delights to do us good. He rejoices over us with singing. He was with his people in all deliverances. And he will be with you, even to the end of the age. He who became a ransom for his people. He said, your heavenly Father knoweth all things. He knoweth that ye have need of these things. Ask in my name. Ask in the name of Christ. My dear friends, God loves to bless his people. If we need our daily bread, we must ask him. He wants us to be at perfect peace in this world. He wants us to have the peace of God which passes all understanding. And concerning Christ, we know this. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And does he not do that in his life? Many of us can testify to this. And you know, we can only explain our persevering by him, the God of all grace. We'd have fallen away, wouldn't we? If it weren't of Christ. If it weren't for him bearing us by his Spirit and by his Word. By his all-sustaining Word. We cannot explain our continued believing but by God. And the faith that he has so given. But lastly, and we must close with this. Not only is he the God of the past, but he is the God of the future, verse 4. and even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. He says, I've made. If He has made you a new creature, what a comfort that is, isn't it? He's made. Do you think that He will forsake you? He who has given His only begotten Son, He will not forsake you. He will carry you even unto the end, even to your old age and into eternity, when the waves of eternity, when we wake up from death and we enter into that sublime, we have that beatific vision and we see God. We shall be changed. He will carry us. My dear friend, even to eternity. He does not forsake His people. No, He never will. The same God of the past is the God of the future. Why? Because I change not, He says. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Psalm 102, but thou art the same and thy years have no end. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Jeremiah, many years later, after he saw Jerusalem destroyed, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet in Lamentations, weeping over Jerusalem, weeping. There he is in Lamentations 3:21. He says, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Can we not say that? You see, Jeremiah says, I recall this to mind. The God of heaven, the God who has promised, who says, I do not change. And friends, even unto your old age, He says, I am He. I am the self-existent God. We change, don't we? We become infirm. We become feeble. But He changeth not. The Psalm 46 to verse 10, God says, be still and know that I am God. I am God. I am. I continue to be God. I am God. The unchanging one. And even to your old age, I am He. I am not as these false gods, Nebo and Baal. But I am the God of heaven. Time will not frustrate my counsel, my decree. And friends, it has been God's counsel and His decree to glorify His Son in the saving of weak, poor, pathetic sinners. He said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and his idols. And you notice at the end of this chapter, he says, I will do all my good pleasure. I am God, there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the ancient times, the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Friends, what is the pleasure of God? Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to His few disciples? Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, verse 32. And it is God's good pleasure that Christ should be vindicated in this God-hating and sinful world, that one day every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And God will not forsake His people. You know, Moses said to the people, as he was bidding them farewell, in Deuteronomy 30 and the verse 20, he said of God, He is thy life and thy length of days. He's our life, isn't he? And he's our length of days. Friends may forsake us. Christians may even let us down. But God remains the same. God will never change. I remember, dear friends, being an unconverted man many years ago. In fact, it was just before the Lord saved me. And I remember standing in the middle of the ocean upon a ship and looking at my life in tatters, disillusioned by the world, disappointed with myself. I remember just despairing. And it wasn't long after the Lord carried me into his house, brought me there. And we can say with Solomon, he brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I remember that time. It was the time of awakening, where I began to realize my sin and my need of Christ. And ever since, I can say this, he has carried me. Kept. That's all we are, aren't we? We've nothing to be proud of here today. But we've been carried. We've been kept. And we'll be carried to eternity. Remember the beggar? Lazarus. Read of how the dogs licked his sores. And how he ate the scraps. But then he was carried by the angels. What a blessed God we have. Doesn't this cause us to worship him and praise him and adore him? Let us have the mind of Jeremiah. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Recall God to your mind. Thank him for all that he has given you. And look to him for all that is yet to come. Amen. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.